Welcome to my study. After 30 years, I've concluded that everything you need to know to be successful in every part of your life is found in one book, the Bible. You may not believe our subject today. Get ready. Brace yourself. Here it is. How to be good and mad. How to be good and mad. Now, everybody knows how to get mad when we're really good at that, aren't we? But the subject today is how to be angry the right kind of a way. Is there a right way to be angry? Well, so we're going to learn eventually. But before we get there, I want to talk to you for a moment about that if you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, that God calls you, are you ready? A peculiar person. So let's look at the scripture. Here we go. You are a chosen generation. That's the first part. Then it says you're a royal priesthood. I mean, you are royalty. Have you got that straight? That's how important you are. You are a holy nation. Holy is really important to God. Now watch this. And you are a peculiar people. So the question is, what's peculiar? What's peculiar? What is peculiar? Is this guy peculiar or is he weird or she peculiar or weird? Is there a difference? God says you're a peculiar person, but I don't know of any Christian who really looks like this. Maybe something like this. I don't know. But there's a difference between peculiar and weird. Certainly we know that, right? And that weird comes in all kinds of shapes and sizes and forms and disguises and everything else and dressed up in mock and clothes and everybody. I mean, peculiar or weird. But God says you're peculiar. God says you are peculiar. I'm this guy. I don't know about you, but I think he's weird. And so is she. I mean, this is the question, is what is the difference? Because here's what the scripture says. You're a chosen generation, you're a royal priesthood, you're a holy nation, and you are a peculiar people. Yeah. So let's talk about what it means to be a peculiar person. Peculiar. Here's what the Oxford English Dictionary says. It means to be distinguished in nature. To be distinguished in nature or character, or have attributes that are different from others. That's what it means to be peculiar. It goes on to say it's unlike others. Somebody who's peculiar is not like the run of the mill around them, okay? And in fact, this goes on to say special and remarkable and distinctive. So you are, according to God, if you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are peculiar. I'm going to point out some of that in a moment. But in contrast to peculiar, there's such a thing as weird. And what is that? And so the dictionary says it means witchy, strange, eerie, abnormal, bizarre, quirky, even odd, screwballish. I don't know if that's really a word or not, screwballish, but I think you've got the picture, and we are either, now watch this, I want you to see both of these definitions at the same time, and we're supposed to be peculiar as opposed to weird. So, now that's true. I have several people in our church who I think are double peculiar. They are really peculiar, and I would say sometimes borderline weird, but I wouldn't say that about a Christian. But Christians are to be peculiar. So you are a chosen generation. Let's go to the rest of the verse. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. All of these are great descriptions of you, a holy nation. You're a peculiar people. Now, watch this. Watch this. That you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What makes you peculiar is you don't walk in the dark anymore. You walk in the light. If you walk in the light, you got to admit that in our culture, you are really, I mean, you'll be called weird even though you're not. You're just peculiar, right? So what's the story here? As fact is that you have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. His light, walking in the light, God's light, is marvelous. I mean, it's like, how would you describe this light? It's beyond the light bulb, Thomas Edison. It's even different than the sun and the moon and the stars. It's a light that has built into it. And it's so dynamically, virtually in it, there is that which is to be marveled. You called into the marvelous light. Remember, you are a chosen generation, royal priesthood, a holy nation, that you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, look at what makes you peculiar. You're out of the dark and into the light. And in addition to that, you are going to show forth the praises of God. I mean, you're going to show how great the Creator is. And then the scripture goes on, and it says this, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God. What is that? Let's wrap our minds around that. In other words, it's true. Man fell, has fallen, lives that condition. Short of what a person or people was really designed to be. So we live subhuman lives. We live sub-person lives, sub-people lives. And there was a time when we were like everybody else and not living up to being what God designed a person to really be. So watch this. In times past, you were not living up to personhood, but now, you are the people of God. Oh, this is delightful. We've been changed. We've been newborn. All our life has been rearranged. Oh, what a difference it makes since Jesus came to stay into our lives. Oh, yes, we have been changed. Now, I want you to see a couple more scriptures about this peculiar thing, because it's used quite a number of times in the Bible. I want you to take a look at this one from the book of Deuteronomy. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. Never diminish, mock, ridicule that which is holy. Holy simply means accurate, right, virtuous. So thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee, now watch this, look at this, to be a peculiar people, look at this now, unto himself. Now the next phrase is going to shock you. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself. Ready? Above all the nations that are upon the earth. Oh, America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brother from sea to shining sea. America was a peculiar nation once upon a time. Hate to think it, hate to say it, don't like it. We're not peculiar like we once were. We're trying to be like other nations. But the fact is that God chose this holy people in himself chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations. And this truth, he wants that of Israel and of course, of America. Chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself. Ha! That's why our Constitution begins with the acknowledgement that all men are created equal. Well, let's move on. Because I want you to see some more of this. Because this is referring now to Jesus, the Son of God and God the Son, who came here and gave himself for us. Now watch this. That he might redeem us from iniquity, narcissism. All narcissism. Now watch. And purify unto himself a peculiar people. Oh. He came to take away our narcissism and make us a peculiar people. I'm saying narcissism is so widespread, everybody's got some degree of it. But God sent his Son to save the world, not merely of sin, but of iniquity, which is narcissism. Now, I wish we had time to go into that. Let me take a bit. You remember Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6? Remember? The scripture talks there about Jesus going to the cross and about our transgressions. He was wounded for our transgressions. Aren't we glad for that? That's how we get forgiveness, cleansing, and restoration. He was wounded for our transgressions. Watch this. Next phrase, he was bruised for our iniquities. Iniquities, second thing he went to the cross to do. To deal not just with sin, but with iniquity. And the next verse tells us exactly what iniquity is. Look at this now. He was wounded for a transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. But the Lord hath laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. But just before that it says, for all we like sheep have gone astray, but the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity. The going astray to our own way, that is the core of narcissism. So God comes to make us a peculiar people, to purify unto himself by taking away all of our iniquities and make us zealous of good works. I want to go back and see this thing again. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy name, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but now are the people of God. God wants you to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ in such a way that you can be properly identified as peculiar, radically different from everybody else. You are peculiar. Well, what's so peculiar about you? So I could write a book on this, couldn't we? But let's just talk about a few points. What makes you peculiar? The first thing is because we walk in the light. Not the darkness. In fact, let's look at the scripture. Referring to Jesus, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. He came here, his life showed us how to live in light. And he was a true light, and lights every man that comes into the world. Now look at this now. He said, I am the light of the world. He that watches this. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Can you imagine? We're peculiar because we walk in the light. The second reason we're peculiar, not only because we walk in the light, but because we know the difference between good and evil. Comes now scripture that is really important. I want you to see it closely. Woe unto him, to them, look at this now, they call evil good, and they call good evil. Stunning. How few people know the difference between good and evil, right and wrong. I mean, right to the upper echelons of our governmental leadership in this country. People write books about the death of do wrong and of the death of right and wrong when they're wrong. The modeling examples that are being given to us from the top echelons. And they have got this mixed up. They don't know the difference between good and evil because they don't walk in the light. So watch this now. We walk in the light and we know good from evil. Well, one of them that call evil good and good evil. Oh, I can't walk away from this yet. The promotion of evil. The renaming of evil to make it less evil or appearing less evil. Disgusting. And there are things I don't want to say out loud to you. I'm going to leave it up to you to look around and see for yourself if it's not true. That to know the difference between good and evil makes you peculiar. We know good from evil. Now look at this. Because these people not only put good for evil, but they put darkness for light, and they put light for darkness. They don't even know what the light is like anymore. They put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And why? Why do they do this? What constitutes? What promotes this? What's the provocation? Here it is. Woe unto them, because they are wise in their own eyes. Prudent in their own sight. I know it all. I don't need to hear from God. And now we have the absence of absolutes. Relativism has taken over. But not for you, beloved. You're a follower of the Lord. You are peculiar because you walk in the light. And you're peculiar because you know the difference between good and evil. The third thing that makes it different is that we know how to overcome evil. Whoa. We should not know the difference between right and wrong, up and down, forward and back, right and left, good and evil. But we know how to overcome evil. So here is where we learned it. It says, don't be overcome of evil. But here it is now. Overcome evil with good. You can never overcome evil with more evil. The only thing that conquers evil is that which is good. That's why Jesus came along and said, love your enemies. Bless those that curse you. This makes you peculiar, don't you think? Loving your enemies? Blessing those that curse you? Look at this. Doing good to them that hate you. Whoa, why? Because we overcome evil with good. We even pray for those that despitefully use you, use us, and even those who persecute us. Why? We know how to overcome evil. Shocking. Out of step. Peculiar. Is maybe an understatement because we have been taught to bless them which persecute us, to bless and to curse not. Watch. Recompense to no man evil. Somebody does you bad, we don't do evil back. Somebody does us bad, we don't do bad back. We're peculiar because we walk in the light. We're peculiar because we know the difference between good and evil. And we're peculiar because we know how to overcome evil. And so we have learned dearly. Don't you love the way the Lord, dearly beloved? Yeah, don't avenge yourself. Don't do anything back. In fact, give place. Give place. Go let them do their wrath, their reaction. And how is it that we can do that? Because God says, and we believe him, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. We know how to overcome evil. Get it? Makes you peculiar because you walk in the light, because you know the difference between good and evil. And you know how to overcome evil because we have learned not to overcome evil with evil, but to overcome evil with good. And now the fourth thing, and this is really our subject today. This also makes us peculiar. Are you ready? Because we know how to handle anger. Ugh. Pretty widespread stuff. Everywhere, angry, angry, angry. Somebody does something, we do back. Escalation. So we know how to handle anger. Here's how you do it. Be angry, but don't sin. If you know how to handle anger, you won't sin. You won't do back to people sinful things like they've done to you. Not only that, we know how to handle anger because we can be angry without sin. And we do it in a timely fashion. We don't let the wrath or reaction go down. We don't let the sun go down upon our reaction. We deal with it in the day we hear of it, right? And we know how to handle anger because we don't give place to the devil. And that is why this is our subject. Our subject today is how to be good and mad. How do you put this thing together? It makes a peculiar person because we walk in the light. We know the difference between good and evil. We know how to overcome evil with good, and we know how to be good and mad. We know how to handle anger. And that is what we're about to learn. Just before we begin, I want to tell you a little story. Two men, competitors in business, crossed the street from each other. One put on a sale, the other put on a sale. They were competing so bad they were going out of business. And it's a story. It's just a story. And the story says that an angel appeared to one of the businessmen in the night, and he said this. He said, Mr. Businessman, I know you're angry with this other guy, and he's angry with you, and you guys got this feud going on, and I want to help you overcome. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to come back in 3 nights, and I'm going to do for you what I have done for nobody else on the planet. I am going to give you a wish, and I'm going to make it come true. Whatever you wish for, I'm going to give it to you. But I'm going to give twice as much to this guy you're angry with, this competitor of yours. Oh, you got 3 days to think about it. I'll see you in 3 nights. So the days seemed long, and the businessman walked the aisles. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Because if whatever I ask for, my competitor is going to get twice as much. Ugh, it aggravated him. Ugh. 3 nights later, the angel shows up, wakes him out of his sleep, and says, well, here I am. And I'm here to make something come true for you, anything you wish for in the whole wide world. But don't forget the hitch. Whatever I give you, I'm going to give twice as much to your competitor. Have you decided what you wish for? And the businessman looked at the angel and said, "Yes, sir, I wish I were half dead." The amount of hatred, the amount of anger, the amount of back and forth between peoples, it's uncivil. Huh? Right. So what we want to learn is how to be good and mad. And I only got 3 points, so it's going to be short. So let's look at the scripture. When Jesus looked around about him with anger. Now here is our hero. Here is our example. He looked around about him with anger. Jesus had anger. Watch now. And he was grieved. What made him angry was being grieved for the hardness of their hearts. And so what did he do? He said to the man with a withered hand, "Stretch forth thine hand." And the man stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole like the other. Based on Jesus, I want us to learn the same thing he taught us here, how to be good and mad. Are you ready? Number one, anger, to be righteous anger, must be properly motivated. Let me give you an illustration. Jesus said to his disciples, now watch this, "It's impossible but that offenses will come." Now watch. Offenses are going to come, but woe unto him through whom they come. That guy is in big trouble. The guy who aggravates you, the guy who provokes you, the guy who cusses, mocks you, makes fun of you, the guy who's, it's impossible but offenses that come, but woe unto him through whom they come. Now watch this. "It were better for him," the guy who is offending, "than a millstone," that's like a big rock, "were hanged about his neck and he would be cast into the lake," the ocean, the sea, "rather than that he should," look at this, "better that he had a rock put around his, big boulder put around his neck, and he was cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones." Oh, little ones. Now, when I looked this up, I wasn't talking about age level, but more maturity level, people who just don't know how to handle stuff. And it's getting younger and younger when people do offensive things. So watch this now, because Jesus looked around about him with anger. His motivation, though, watch it now, was not to get something for himself, was not to improve his lot in life, his financial well-being, to gain some selfish advantage. His motivation was to love. To be good and mad, we must be properly motivated. That is, toward the offender. Didn't we already learn that? Bless those that curse you. Must be properly motivated. No resentment, no personal gain. Properly motivated. Not selfish, not for personal advantage, but because we care about that person who did bad. They're in trouble. They're in deep trouble. Woe unto them through whom offenses come. And so we learn that to be good and mad, you first have to be properly motivated. And then, watch this now. Good and mad means properly focused and directed. Don't miss the intelligence monitor. Because this, what this means is it must be focused, that anger, not against the doer, but the deed. Now look at this. Jesus looked around about him with anger. He wasn't angry with them. He was angry at the condition of their hearts. You know, to be good and mad, you have to be properly motivated by love. And secondly, you have to be focused and directed not against the doer, but against the deed. Isn't that the big secret we learn from God? You know, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. He loves the sinner, but hates the sin. So properly motivated by love and properly focused means not against the person, but against the deed they did. We must make this transition. Learning to treat other people the way God treats us. We do wrong? Obviously. What does he do? He sent God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that if you believe in him, you could get fixed, you could get overcome it. He didn't just wipe us all out. None of us would have survived. He hates sin, but he loves the sinners. And so to be good and mad, we must be properly focused and directed, not against the doer, but against the deed. Because when Jesus looked around about him with anger, he was grieved not against the doers, but the heart condition, the deed. And then thirdly, we learn that to be good and mad must not only be properly motivated, properly focused and directed, not against the doer, but the deed, but properly implemented. So when Jesus had looked around about him with anger, being grieved at the, watch this now, watch the monitor. He said to the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other, and Jesus performed a miracle. Properly implemented means constructive, not destructive. Remedial. Fix the problem. Fix the person. Care about him. Love him. Be properly motivated. Don't be angry at him. Be angry at the deed if you want. But do something constructive. Reach into that person. Bless those that curse you. Do good. So, my friends, this is what we have attempted to spend these moments with you today, learning how to be good and mad. How to be good and mad. Properly motivated. Properly directed, not against the doer, but the deed. Properly implemented. Remedial. Constructive. That's how to be good and mad.
Do you ever wonder how to handle that difficult person in your life? David L. Johnston has a free ebook just for you, How to Handle Difficult People. Get the free ebook today by going to nothingbutthetruth.org/difficult.